Okay, Urbosai. We're on Duff Gimelman and Bays when we last left our heroes, right after the story about Rav Yehuda ben Becerra's cleverness. We are about seven lines from the end. Rav Kahana Chala, she was sick. Shadura Rabban Rav Yeshua Berei de Rav Edi. Amrlei Zilbdok Maidine. So they sent Rav Yeshua Berei de Rav Edi to check how he was doing. Asa Ashkei Dinach Nafshi. He came and found that he had passed away. Kari Levushe, so he tore his clothing, because you tear on a Talmud Chacham or a Rebbe, even though nowadays, not so Nahug, but that's the din. But he turned his shirt backwards so that they couldn't see the tear. He was crying and he went. Amrle, so why did he turn his shirt around? So he cried, but he didn't want to explicitly even show that Rav Kahana died. Amrle nach nafshe. They asked, did he pass away? Amrle ana lo kamina. He said, I'm not going to say. Motzi diba huksil. Someone who tells the bad news is a fool. Meaning, what's the chiddush here? The chiddush here is not only shouldn't you like use negative words to describe things, which is what we've been discussing until now. You shouldn't even tell bad news by just reporting accurately. Rather, you should imply it. And likewise, another story like that, Yochanan Chakuka, Nafek L'Kriyasa, he went out to the villages. Ki Asa Amrle Chitin Nasu Yafos. They asked him, did the wheat grow well? Meaning, apparently, this was like a big deal at the time, right? Amrlehem Sorim Nasu Yafos. Basically, the wheat crop failed, which was very bad news in those days, because people eat wheat and animals eat barley. So he said that the barley grew well, which was his way of avoiding saying something bad. They said, go and tell the news to the horses and donkeys. That it says that the straw as well as the barley is for the horses and seemingly the donkeys. Meaning they said, okay, you avoided saying something bad, but still you used animal food words when we're talking about people food, which is not proper language. My havelin neighbors, what should he have said? She said last year's wheat grew well. So the lentils grew well, which are human food. Okay, and a similar story. Rav Barachud, Rav Chia Bar Achte. Rav was both Rav Chia's nephew and nephew. Rav was the son of Rav Chia's brother and Rav Chia and Rav Chia's sister. Obviously, in order to avoid Gilei Arayos, Rav was the son of Rav Chia's half sister and Rav Chia's half brother, who were not related to each other. As Rashi explains, Kisolik Le Hasam, when Rav went to Eretz Yisrael and Rabbi Chia met him, and there was no news in those days, Amrle, according to Eregir, Ebu Kayam, Amrle Ima Kayamas, Amrle Ima Kayamas, Amrle Ebu Kayam. Okay, we have, basically, the principle is clear. Someone died, as a matter of fact, it seems like two people died, and Rav did not want to explicitly say that these two people died. Okay, exactly what happened here. You know, the nafgamina is, I admit, very slight between the different pshatim, but let's just see the different perushim of the Rishonim as to exactly what happened. See if I can get them clear in my head. One pshat is, here is Rabbi Chia Sha'al, and here's Rav, then Rabbi Chia asked something else. And then Rav said something. He responded, right? So according to Rashi, what happened? Evu is the name of Rav's father, who is Rabbi Chia's brother. So he said, basically, hi. Is Evu, who's my brother and your father, alive? And Rav says, is my mother alive? Meaning, ask about my mother. Don't ask about my father. So he asked, Achoti, is my Ima? Ima was the name, according to Rashi. And Rav answered, is my father alive? Like when he asked about his father, he said, is my mother alive? And when he asked about his mother, he said, is my father alive? And he understood that they had both passed away. The other option is that Rashi rejects right? I don't remember if Rashi just says, I don't think he quotes who says this. He just says that Yesh Omrim. Rashi, the shame, Yesh Omrim, says the same thing. Says the same thing is Avel. That's the name. And here the name is Ima. Ima was a name in those days. Is Avel, who's my brother, your father, alive? And he says, my mother's alive. Ah, is your mother alive? He says, my father's alive. Okay. And so he said, is your father alive, Avel? And he said, my mother's alive, implying that his father's dead. Is your mother really alive, or were you just saying that? My father's alive, implying that she's also dead. Okay, why does Rashi reject this pshat? Because in this pshat, Rav said it dvar sheker. Because Rav said his mother's alive, which is not true, and he said his father's alive is not true. And even though it was sort of a harmless dvar sheker, still, you can't believe that Rav would be motzi dvar sheker mipiv. We paskin like Rashi's rejection of this pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tuf Beis of Yoredeya. Of course, Tuf Beis, Simon Yud Beis. Some of us learned it last year. The Gemara brings this down as halacha. The Shulchan Aruch brings it down as halacha l'maisa, based on our story, and says if someone passed away, you should not tell anyone. You should not tell anyone if someone passed away. You should never say bad news if someone passed away. Even if they ask you, you should not explicitly say that the person passed away. Rather, you should just imply it in some indirect fashion, like Rav did. And the Shulchan Aruch adds, but you shouldn't lie. Whatever happens, you're not allowed to lie. Okay, that's based on Rashi. It says you shouldn't share the bad news, but you're not allowed to lie. There are two other pshatim as well. The Rabbi Hananel has a different pshat. He doesn't have Evu. He has Abba. He is the Gersa of Abba. Ha'im. Is my father alive? Is what Rabbi Chia asked. He asked my father alive. And and Rav answered, my father's alive. Meaning, my father's alive, your father's not. But this wasn't an obnoxious thing to say. Why was this an obnoxious thing to say and give him an ayin hara and nan, your father's dead, my father's alive? Because his father was Rabbi Chia's brother. So if his father's alive, he's not saying my father's alive, I'm luckier than you. He's saying your brother's alive at least. Right? Avi. Right, so he's saying, okay, your brother's alive, but your father's not. And that's why I had to say their family relation, because otherwise it'd be really obnoxious for me to ask, is my father alive? And someone answers, oh no, but mine is. But if they say, no, but your brother is, then that's not obnoxious. And likewise, he says, here the Lushan is, I mean, Ema is the same anyway. It's just not a name. It's a position. Ha'im imi chaya. And the answer is no, my mother, who is your sister, is alive. That's Rabbeinu Hananel. Okay, I don't know the difference al chomais between them. And then Tosfos says, Tosfos brings Rabbeinu Hananel, and Tosfos gives a, different shot, because notice Rabbeinu Hananel has a different girsa. He has Abba. Tosa says, but according to our girsa, where it's Abba, Ima, Ima, Abba. So, what happened? Rabbi Chia asked, is my father alive? He also has the girsa of Abba here. And the answer is, Rav says, my mother's alive. Who is your sister? Why? This is almost the same as this. Why didn't he say my father's alive? Or he says my father's alive. Rav didn't want to say my father's alive because that could have been confused and sound like your father's alive, and then he would have given him false hope. But he said, my mother's alive. He asked, is my mother alive? And he answered, my father, who is your brother is alive. Okay, those are the four pshatim in the Gemara. Okay, that's either way. The maskana is don't say the bad news. If you're asked, imply it without saying it, and don't lie. Like Rashi rejects the Yishomer. Continuing the Gemara, what happened? Amrli the Shame, Rabbi Chia got the hint, right? Rabbi Chia was a smart fellow. He got the hint. Chalutz limanali, he told his shamas, take off my shoes, v'holich kelei achred beis hamerchatz. So bring my clothing, follow me, and bring my clothing to the bathhouse. So on the one hand, do avelus, take off my shoes, and the other, and I'm on the way to the bathhouse, which is not avelus. Why? So the Gemara explains, shema mina tlas, we can learn three halachos from this, shema mina avel asim nilas asanda, we can learn that an avel is not allowed to wear shoes, that's why he took off his shoes. Shema mina shmur rechoka inu hegzal yom echad, we can learn that a shmur rechoka, meaning if you hear after 30 days, which clearly was at least 30 days at this point, then you only have to keep one day of avelus, and that's why he went to the bathhouse. So shema mina mixum kikulo, that mixum kikulo, so one day of avelus, just a few minutes of avelus, by the time he got to the bathhouse, he could stop keeping the avelus. Okay, end of the story. Here, I don't want to get into it because we have a lot to do, but in the brackets, I put in a bit of machlokis, rishonim, achronim. What's the chiddush of shema mina shmur b'chuka ein noheges, shmur b'chuka ein noheges, ol yom echad mitzvim kikulo is very valid. Meaning that's not obvious. But an avel can't wear shoes. Everyone knows an avel can't wear shoes. You know, that's a chiddush we have to learn from the story. Every 11-year-old knows an avel can't wear shoes. So what's pshat? So here we have a bit of machlokis. The Ramban and his Talmidim, etc., they say no. It's taught specifically in the context of Shmur Rechoka. What does the Ramban say? The Ramban says it's a kula. What it means is that it's enough to just take off shoes. He didn't also have to cover his head and turn over his beds. That it's enough to just take off. Shoes. Okay, and that's the chiddush. He doesn't have to do all the mitzvahs of avelus. It's enough to do one thing of avelus. The Ritva says it is a restriction of the kula. The kula is he only has to do one thing of avelus, but it has to be something on his body, like taking off his shoes. It can't be something else that's not in his body. You know, what it sounds like from the Ritva is like it can't be turning over the bed. That's not in his body. It has to be something on his body. To make halos avelos on him and his guf, on the gavra. And the Ran says, also it's a restriction on a kula, but a different kula. The kula is you only have to keep one, not a shah, doesn't mean an hour, he says shah, you only have to keep one minute of avelos, one small time period of avelos. But during that period of avelos, you have to keep all the isurim. And therefore, he had to take off his shoes. Even if he's going to do something else for avelos, during that period of isur, he has to do all the isurim. So it's not like, he can't just say, well, I'll cover my head or I'll turn over my bed. And meanwhile, I won't keep the other halachas. Meanwhile, you know, I will keep my shoes on. No, for that 1 minute, you have to keep all the isurim and take off your shoes. Okay, those are the three pshatim you're showing them here. Again, the Ramban, it's a kula, doing one thing is enough. Even though it's lashon chumra, avel, aser, means it's enough to asur nilas sandal. The Ritva, it's a chumra of the kula, meaning a limit of the kula. That you only have to do one thing, but it has to be begufo. And for the Ran, it's a limit of a kula. You only have to keep for 1 minute. But during that minute, you have to keep everything, and you have to take off your shoes. Or all yisurim, take off your shoes. The Rambam doesn't sound like any of these things. The Rambam Hilchos Avelos just says, he has to keep for one time period, Hilchos Avelos. Doesn't say anything about, you know, he has to keep all the isurim, or he has to keep one thing, etc. Sounds like he's just full Hilchos Avelos for a few minutes, in which case there's nothing special about nitlas asandal, and therefore the Karen Ora says for the Rambam, which I think makes sense, that for the Rambam there's no special din of Shmur Rechoka here. Everyone else says the special din of Shmur Rechoka. But look, the Shema Mino nitlas asandal came before the Shema Mino Shmur Rechoka. No, the Rambam just said it's a proof that Avelim are Asur nitlas asandal. Oh, that's obvious. It's obvious to us, but it's not found in the Mishnah. If it's not in the Mishnah, then it wasn't obvious necessarily in the days of the Amorayim, and therefore it was worth proving it. Okay, those are the four pshatim. Now we'll go weiter. Says the Gemara, just finishing up the part about Lashon, then we'll get back to the part about Pesach. How damar donu dinai? One guy would always say, judge me, judge me. He would always go to court for everything. Amish mami nabi don kasi. They said, we can deduce from this that he comes from the Shevet of Dan. Don Yodin Amok Achim Shtei Yisrael, Don always judges. So since he was always looking for judgment, and even used the Lashon of Donu Dinai, he must come from Don. Hadaka Azel Hamar Kef Yama Assistni Birasa. One guy, whenever he would say, he loved the seashore. He said, I'm going to build palaces on the seashore. I only want to live on the seashore. And it was like just too much, a little obsessive of him. But Kuvash Kumin is Zvulun Kotsi. They checked out and they found they came from Shevet Zvulun. Tchsev Zvulun, the Chof Yamin Mishton. Zvulun lives on the seashore. Okay, what do these two stories say? This is like the crescendo of the Lashon part. Not only are there halachos as to what Lashon you're supposed to use and not supposed to use, but even the subtleties of someone Lashon which are not right or wrong. No one's saying it's right or wrong to want to live on the seashore. There's no halachic, ethical, you know, musser advantage or disadvantages to living on the seashore. But just the way people express themselves, you know, it really expresses the depths of their soul. Because if the way you speak is so significant, then it really goes to the root of your soul. And therefore, they can actually tell these people's yichus from the way they spoke. Okay, now we're back to Maseches Pesachim, everybody. The Gemara asks, Bahashta de Kaimalon. Hashta de Kaimalon. Dekule Alma or Tahu. Now that we've established that everyone agrees that Orlar Basar means the night of the 14th. Michti Bein Rav Yehuda Bein Rav Meir Chametzeinu Asur L'Shei Shoshal Ma'alah. Granted that whether for Yehuda or Meir, the Isser of Chametz only starts in the afternoon. Right? The Nivdok, from the sixth hour. Everyone agrees it's only Asur to own Chametz from the sixth hour. You only have to burn your Chametz in the sixth hour. Everyone agrees. This is Drabbanan, the rice maybe in the seventh hour. But everyone agrees. Before the sixth hour, there's no need to burn chametz. You can have your chametz. If so, Nivdok Bashis, why don't we do Bedika in the sixth hour when you have to burn your chametz? Why do Bedika so early? Why do Bedika 17 hours in advance? The Chitim is reason Makdim L'Mitzvos. And if you say, because there's reason Makdim L'Mitzvos, it's always good to be Zoris for Mitzvos, Nivdok Mitzafra, then it would be enough to just do it in the morning. How do we know the morning is enough for Zrizos? The Pasuk says, on the eighth day. The Tanya and the Brisa says, all day long is kosher for Rismila, but Zrizan and Demon and do it first thing in the morning. And how does the Brisa know that Zrizan and Demon Lemitzos? Doesn't say by Rismila in the Torah, Zrizan and Lemitzos. The Brisa learns Rismila from Avraham Avinu. Perhaps from something very similar to Rismila, right? By Yomashmila, Holy Rats Adamo, Rismila is a bit of a sacrifice of the of a child from Avram's real almost sacrifice of a child. By Yaskim Avram Baboker, by Yachosh is Chamoro, let us assume that he got up early in the morning. Why did he get up early in the morning? Because Zrizim Akdim Lemitzos. So we see that Zrizim Akdim Lemitzos only requires getting up in the morning. Okay, we'll come back in a few minutes to the details of this diuk. So if it's for Zrizos, it would be enough to say that the boker of our basar, boker is a chametz l'oraner. Why do you have to do it at night? So in the end, what do we say? We say, Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak, b'shoshim ne'onim etzuyim v'atayim v'oraner yofel l'bdika. There's two reasons why we do it at night. A, because b'nei odim etzuyim v'atayim, people are home at night, they're not home during the day, and therefore they want to make sure there's maximal compliance with this, takana. So they are talking at night. And or haner is yofla bedika, and candlelight is good for bedika. Okay, we have to figure out exactly what we mean by candlelight is good for bedika, at least on a certain level, because we'll talk about it a little more. Save some of the sugya of candlelight for later on. Dav zayin dav ches, which is the actual sugya where the Gemara is mefaris the words of the Mishnah leor haner. You know, here the candlelight is just a side point in being mefaris the words of the Mishnah or lar basar. So or haner yofla bedika. So what does that mean? It means for some reason you do it at night instead of the day so you can use a candle and a candle is good. So the first question is, why use a candle? Why not use daylight? Why use a candle and not daylight? Who's our photographer here? Okay. Why use a candle and not daylight, right? Obviously, what are the two candidates here? The two candidates here aren't a candle versus darkness in the middle of the night, aren't candle versus moonlight or candle versus starlight. The two candidates here are candle versus daylight. So why is a candle better than daylight? So why is a candle better than daylight? And again, this is really, we're going to answer this question a little more properly later on in Dav Zayin. But let's at least sketch out the basic question. Why is a candle better than daylight? Anyone?
You can get into the grass.
What, Fievel? A candlelight is better than daylight because it's darker. But why does that make it better than daylight?
No, during the day,
Ah, but you're not answering the question I asked.
Okay.
So I didn't ask why a candle at night is better than a candle during the day. Right. Yet. I asked why a candle in the first place, right? There are two separate questions. Number one, why a candle? Number two, why not use the candle in the day, right? We have to answer those two questions logically. So, and could be that they're separate answers. Number one, why a candle, right?
Why doesn't it make it into the cracks?
So, Chorin Ustaken, who says a candle is better because it goes into the Chorin Ustaken?
Yerushalmi and Namiri.
The Yerushalmi does not use that word. The Yerushalmi says because it's Bode Kol Shehein. That means it does a really good bedika. It does a really good bedika. It doesn't say why it does a really good bedika, right? Who on the Makor sheet says Chorin Ustaken? By the way, you're all not crazy for saying Chorin Ustaken because by the time you get to the modern day Mefarshim, meaning you open up Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, it's Pasha that is for Chorin Ustaken. On Makor sheet, who's the Meiri? The Meiri says because of Chorin Ustaken. So why in there? Chorin Ustaken because sunlight doesn't go into Chorin Ustaken, right? It only shines where it shines. You can't aim the sunlight that comes in the window. You can't aim the electric lights on the ceiling. You can aim the candle. I don't mean like a flashlight, you can aim which direction it shines, but you can just put it. By the way, we don't mean candle, of course. Keep in mind, Ner in Shas, they had candles in the days of Shas. But Stam word, Ner in Shas, does not mean candle. It means, you know, what you see in all the archaeological everything. It means a lamp, like a bowl with oil with a place for a wick. But that little bowl, you keep it in your hand and you stick it into or right next to all the Chorin Ustaken. So the simple pshat is, says the Meiri, Chorin Ustaken, and Shmuel, or someone suggested, maybe that's pshat in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Bode Kol Shehein, it's a better bedika with a ner, with a lamp. Let's call it a lamp as opposed to a candle, just because they definitely, candles were invented in those days, but they weren't typically used. And clearly that's not what Chazal had in mind here. They had in mind lamps. So maybe that's Pshat in the Yerushalmi, right? The Yishlomar, the Kach Kavanas, HaYerushalmi. And the Ran said, what does the Ran say? Here, a candle is Bodek Yafet. The Haran, the Chuli, the Ner, Bodek, you know, Yafet. Better, right? Okay, we'll see. That and there does a better bedika. Why does it do a better bedika? Because you can put it into Chorin Ustaken. That is one possibility. And that's probably the best possibility. But anyone have any other suggestions as to why a Nair would be better than the sunlight? It's more specific, right? Where's Joel? Joel, are you on the shear? Joel emailed me and said this. Okay, Joel Rich, sorry. So maybe this is what's interesting. Maybe because a Nair is more focused, meaning the contrast. This is a fascinating thing, right? But yesh b'zeh mashu, right? Think about it. If you are looking for your contact lens, right? That's something hard to find, right? Never had contact lens, but I can imagine. You know, you're looking for your contact lens in a room with very bright lights all over. It might be harder to find the contact lens if you're looking in a dark room with a flashlight and you're shining the flashlight like at each place where you walked, then you'll be able to focus better on that part of the room instead of being distracted by the whole room. You'll say, yeah, I'll just look at every square, every balata, right? That's floor tile. And I'll check one by one in the light. But it's very hard because you're not focusing on each one. You're running through it. If you take the flashlight and you focus on one place at a time, maybe the focus, because of the contrast, will be helpful. Maybe you could say that's what the Yerushalmi meant. And the Ran says, Bodek Yafen. Yerushalmi says, Kol Shehein. Maybe. Now, I don't have any Rishonim who say this. Anyone who's a Rishon who says this, just shout. But maybe, Yesh Lomar, Bekavanas, HaYerushalmi, V'chuli, that there's more focus due to the contrast. Right? Maybe you could say that. Okay. Why I think maybe it might be attractive to say that, I will, you know, usually I don't just make up things stam, but A, because maybe it's true. Maybe it makes sense. And B, we'll see enough gamina. Yes, no.
Another answer, which isn't like so intuitive, which is more connected to the Gemara itself, is that if another requirement of the Gemara is that people are in the Tzehen, so if you're just not going to have natural sunlight when you're checking.
No, but it sounds like these are two separate things, meaning B'nei Adam Mitzuyim Vateihem. You want to say, well, it has to be at night when B'nei Adam Mitzuyim. And then candles are good, but it sounds like candles are good as a reason to make it at night. So then that would be circular reasoning. Say you need a candle because you do it at night. Sounds to the Gemara like candles are good as a reason to do it at night. So I'm just not trying to read the Gemara to say you have to do it at night because B'nei Adam Mitzuyim, and then you need a candle. Then that's not the answer to this question. Right, who sounds like this on our daf? Although it's not really true. But you don't yet know if it's really true or not, because we haven't seen the Rashi and the Zayin daf ches. But Rashi sounds like, let's call it Gzeiras HaKosav for now. Right? Maybe we'll enhance the you know, the idea of Gzeiras HaKosav a little later. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, V'im Tomer Yivdak L'Or Hayom. Why do you need a candle? He does it backwards. First he asks why a candle's better at night, and then he says, why do you need a candle in the first place? Again, not why do you need a candle do it in the dark? Why do you need a candle do it in the day? Which is exactly this question mark. We learn that the mitzvah is b'ner. Now we have to look at Rashi later and say, does he really mean what it sounds like, Zeres HaKosav? Or does he really mean, we learn later on, there's a svara for ner because of Kornu Stokken or something. But what Rashi certainly sounds like is, and it is, okay, well, again, let's run with this for now, because if it's not Rashi, it'll be Tosfos and Peretz later, etc. We'll question later whether Rashi meant what he seems to mean, but certainly the mashmos of Rashi, kan, is Gzeiras HaKosav. It's a Gzeiras HaKosav to use a ner. What is a Gzeiras HaKosav to use a ner? L'chora, you know, I mean, we'll get to it later. Here, we'll spoil. We're going to say later, why would it be Gzeiras HaKosav to use a ner? I don't like to say Gzeiras HaKosavs are, you know, no reason whatsoever. You know, clearly Hashem wouldn't do, not clearly, but we, the Rambam Paskin, so Hashem wouldn't do something for no reason whatsoever. So we can say, okay, it's a mystical, Kabbalistic reason that you have to know all the spheros and be a makol to understand. Pashtus, we don't like to say that either. If we have a choice, why do we Gzeiras HaKosav to use the ner? Meaning, there's a certain ritual value to the ner, not just because it searches better. Why would there be a ritual value to the ner? A, because you take a ritual more seriously if you have to use a prop for it, right? Meaning I'll be pshat. What do you mean Gzeiras HaKosav? Gzeiras HaKosav to use a ner. If I look in the sunlight, I'm not like bringing any equipment to my job. There's already sunlight. If I have to get a ner, I'm bringing equipment to my job. When you bring equipment, you do it more seriously. It's more of a real shmira. It's more of a real serious act, both practically and existentially. So it could be Gzeiras HaKosav ner, because when you have to bring your equipment, then you're doing something much more serious. And in addition, we can imagine that if it's connected to B'dikas Chametz, after all, B'dikas Chametz might be with the fire, depending on which Tana you ask. So maybe you have to start with the fire to continue doing something with a fire. And I'll pi derech ha remez, you know, I'll pi pshat, makes it more serious to use a prop, not to use pre-existing conditions. I'll pi drash, you know, maybe you want to connect it to the beer. I'll pi remez, everything we said about Or Larbasa, about Pesach being the light in the darkness. And maybe you want this theme of the light in the darkness, by Yaris HaLaila, and I'll be so, it is not for us. Okay.
We'll use Zohar in the afternoon.
No, we only do Zohar in Hak. Oh, no, we do Zohar in the afternoon. Correct. Okay, I said it. But I didn't really get into the soap part of that Zohar. You don't really understand why you shouldn't eat Basar Bachala. I just was
okay.
Yeah, okay, Viter. Anyway, so could say it's Gzeiras HaKosav. Yes.
Yeah, I think that part of it was also very simply to force people to go slow. Or that's what Paul Yotze. Because if there's sunlight, then it goes very fast.
Okay. That might be similar to the idea of the focus and the contrast, right? That you go slow bit by bit. But you're right. Okay, now let's ask the next question. which is why ner b'layla and not ner b'yom. Granted, you need a ner, but why does a ner have to be at night and not during the day? And I'm going to be stuck here at a certain point. Hopefully someone will help me out who knows more science than I do, or more something than I do. But what would make sense? First of all, what does the Ran say at first? All the Rishonim say things at first that I'm very attracted to. The Ran, anyone notice what the Ran at first says about why near at night and not during the day? You have to read the Ran carefully. The Ran on the Rif, that is. What? No, that's the next Ran. What does he say here? He says here, a ner is more yafa than the chama, and at night you have a ner because people use neros at night. Meaning the Ran sounds like, again, this is at first. He says, it's not that a ner at night is better than a ner during the day. No, but a ner is yafa, and you have a ner at night. Keep in mind, don't imagine modern reality. Right, when, you know, in those days, there were subsistence economy, right? People, bekoshi, had enough food to eat for that day, and bekoshi had enough oil to burn for that night in their lamp, right? Meaning a poor person, who remembers the beginning of brachos? When does a poor person eat dinner? Earlier or later than a rich person? Earlier, because he can't afford oil for the lamp, so he has to eat dinner while there's still a little light before it says kol hakochavim, right? So people don't have lamps available. They're not used to using lamps during the day. At night, not everyone's so poor. And people, even the poor people, sometimes use a lamp at night. So at night, lamps are just more readily available. But it's not that the ner is better at night. Says the Ran, let's say A, says the Ran at first, right? Let's see less devarav. He says, it's not better, Balayla, just more available. Why would a lamp be better at night? Lamp's not better at night, it's just more available at night. Okay, who wants to say? No, what he says is, I think it's fine anymore. And not, it's like this. Everyone else reads the Gemara as Bisha'a Shebne Adam Mitsuyim Vatehem Uvisha'a Sha'oriner Yafalabdika. That's how you're reading the Gemara until now. I know everyone but this Ron reads the Gemara. Bisha'a is going on two things, right? What does the Ibn Ezra like to say? Also Moshech Acharimo. It means night is the time when people are home and the time when the Oriner is Yafa. But the Ron's not reading it that way. The Ron's saying night is the time people at home and not and night is the time that. And Oriner is Yafeh. And it goes without saying that once Oriner is Yafeh, people have Oriner at night and they're reluctant to light their lamps during the day. It is a reason to do it at night because Oriner is Yafeh and people don't have an Oriner during the day. Correct. But I think it's not as smooth, but it's possible. Okay. What other pshat would you potentially say as to why an air at night is better than during the day, that would make sense to you? I'll give you a clue. It has to do with what's on the board. The contrast shot, again. I don't have anyone who says this explicitly. I will try to claim, obviously. When I say I don't have anyone who says it explicitly, that obviously means I intend to claim that someone says it implicitly. But what can you say? This makes a lot of sense. If the if the whole point of the ner is the contrast, right? Why is a ner good? Because it is meir on one area at a time and you go slowly and you focus and you look everywhere, right? Then of course it makes sense it's better in the day and at night. Better at night than during the day. Because at night there's contrast, during the day there's no contrast because everything is lit anyway. Okay, there's another pshat here that's in the Achronim a little later, which could be based on the Xeris Akasov, so I'll throw it in here also, is that you could say that if it's Xeris Akasov to use a ner, it could be that Anyone know a saying, a pitgam, a pitgam and a niv about candles during the day? Right? What good is a lamp during the day? A lamp doesn't exist during the day. You could say you're not yotzei the gzeiras hakasov, because the gzeiras hakasov isn't to hold a lamp. The gzeiras hakasov is to use a lamp. And during the day, you can't use a lamp because it doesn't do anything. Right? So you could say you're not yotzei the gzeiras hakasov during the day because shraga b'tihara maimahani. Okay. We'll see. We'll put it on the Makoro sheet later. All of these are things that would make sense to us. Okay, C is Xeris Agassav, but Xeris Agassav also can make sense to us. Once they're Xeris Agassav, then we make sense to them. Of course, give me a second. What did Yerushalmi say at first? At first, Yerushalmi says, Orin Eres Yafalim Dika, and probably means, what does Yerushalmi say? One second, give me half a second. The Gemara says, why do you need Glama Balaila? Ain Bdika Saner Yafe Ella Balaila. Ain Bdika Saner Yafe Ella Balaila. Okay, we don't yet know why Bdika Saner is only Yafe Balaila, but in the end of Yerushalmi, they're very clear. Because what do they say in the end of Yerushalmi? They said, Mavos Afelim, dark alleyways, dark areas. I mean, not alleyways the way we imagine alleyways, then they wouldn't be very dark, but dark areas, right? Can you search them at night? With a construction during the day with a nair, because they're dark. And what does Yerushalmi say in the end? All the Rishonim quote this Yerushalmi. What does Yerushalmi say? No, why not? Because lamps shine brighter at night than during the day, even if it's dark. And what's their proof? That once the Jews were hiding in caves from their enemies, and they needed to know if it was night or day, I assume in order to do the various mitzvahs, not just curiosity. And how did they tell if it was night or day? It was always equally dark, but they lit a lamp. When the lamp was brighter, that showed it was nighttime. When the lamp was dimmer, that showed it was daytime. Because lamps having nothing to do with contrast. Lamps, and they said the same for Noach, right? What did Noach do in the Teva? When the Mazolos lo shimshu, he couldn't tell if it was night or day because the heavenly bodies did not function. He brought in, apparently, the equivalent of lamps, certain shining minerals or of some sort, and they shine brighter at night, and I'm just not going to commit myself because, I don't understand the physics totally, and he shined brighter at night, and they were dimmer during the day, which shows even if the context is exactly the same in the Tavor in the cave, there's something deep about fires that they shine more at night than during the day. Even in Noach's Mabul, when there was no sun and moon and stars. Even if there's no sun and moon and stars, there's something metaphysical at night and day that changes how fires act. Okay, in which case, this is very pashut. You want the... Now again, we're not saying that the lamp is useless during the day, but you want the lamp to be the best it can be. You want the most mahadur b'dikai. After all, you want to make sure to catch as much chametz as possible, right? We're dealing with possibility of having chametz on Pesach. And therefore, it's obviously better to use the candle when it's yafe, when it's better, when it's brighter, rather than when it's dimmer. And that's what Rashi seems to say, even though he doesn't quote Yerushalmi. Says, "Balayla aval bayom machshech." During the day, the lamp is darker. Really sounds like Rashi knew this Yerushalmi, even though he's not quoting the Lashon Yerushalmi. That's fine. Rashi speaks more tersely in his Perush compared to the other Rishonim. So what is the maskana of the Rishonim? And almost all the Rishonim quote this. Almost all the Rishonim quote this. What do they say? They say fires are brighter at night. Fires are brighter at night. Let's say a little better. Are actually brighter at night. Not the contrast and they seem. They're actually brighter at night, even having nothing to do with the context or the psychology or anything else. What's the only weakness of this Yerushalmi? That it doesn't match our physics, and we don't have any scientific explanation for this. So if anyone has a scientific explanation for the Yerushalmi, now feel free.
What
he's trying to say, what I understood he's trying to say, it's not, obviously it doesn't change at night or dark, but it's you. Remember, your eyes during the day are used to light. And even
Morty, then if the Jews are hiding in a cave and so dark they can't tell if it's day or night, the only way they could tell if it's day or night is to light a lamp and see what happens. That means that they're not used to anything because they couldn't tell if it was day or night until they lit the lamp. In the Teva, there's no sun. How can you say it has to do with his eyes being used to anything?
That I don't understand. But in our, for B'dikas Chometz, I totally understand.
I know, but we don't understand the Yerushalmi. And all the Rishonim put the Yerushalmi, and it's a big tzarchia. I also want to understand. You know, you're saying it seems brighter to you during the day because of the, again, I'm going to fold that into be here. It has to do, maybe it's not more focused, maybe it seems brighter. It has to do with the contrast, right? Or it seems maybe brighter due to the contrast. Maybe
even if you go into the dark room, even if you go into a dark room from outside, it takes a good amount of time to
eyes. I agree with you 100%. That just doesn't explain the Rishalmi. And all the Rishonim quote the Rishalmi. And I will explain why. Okay, you'll see if you can if you can push back in a moment. Let's just see for a second what is the
suggestion.
Yeah.
Maybe he's saying that the Rishonim is saying that it's more conspicuous at night because the point here is that there should be a heker that it's l'shem mitzvah, and that's what's underlying all of this. It's not just functional, but if it's more conspicuous at night, then it's a heker that you're doing this l'shem mitzvah.
But what do you mean more? But the Rishonim quotes the people in the cave, explains it based on the people in the cave. The people in the cave were not trying to be conspicuous; they were trying to tell what time it was.
Yeah, but it is more conspicuous at night. That's his point. That's why we do it at night.
Look, what you're all saying is wonderful, but that's not what it says in the Yerushalmi, right? The Yerushalmi says that if the Yerushalmi just says, it burns better in the night than during the day. You could say whatever you want. But then he says, D'amar Rav Huna, like Rav Huna said, and talks about the Jews in the cave who had no idea what time it was until they lit a lamp. That means that it wasn't about being conspicuous because they didn't know what time it was. It means that lamps are actually brighter during the night. Okay, whether we like it or not, that's the science of the Yerushalmi.
Someone
accepted the Yerushalmi.
My Chaburta suggested that perhaps these dark places weren't completely dark. It wasn't pitch black. But it was dark enough that they couldn't tell a difference until they lit a candle. When you light a candle, it makes the difference clearer. If you had scientific instruments, then you could measure the darkness levels even
more. Really? In the cave, there was a difference in the light during the day and night, but they couldn't tell without a candle? How about Noach and the Mabel when there was no sun?
Then you might have to say, that that's where Chazal took the science from. If you... it gets complicated.
It sounds tricky to me. It really does sound tricky to me. If you want to say here more focus, or it seems brighter due to the contrast, that I can handle. But I really think there's Shalmi saying something that we don't understand the science of. And this is what all the Rishonim assume. And I don't know, we have to bring in Nathan Slifkin for a guest speaker. Okay, he's no longer available, but maybe we can get Nathan Slifkin for a guest speaker.
How about
the Shkron and Kotis Yerushalmi?
Is there any Akronim
that say, Yerushalmi goes against?
Not that I know of. And, you know, physics isn't so old. So, again, we should ask Nathan Slifkin. I haven't seen him write anything about it. But I know what he would write. He would just write the Yerushalmi's wrong. Okay. You don't need a PhD to say that.
Just like we say about all kinds of refuot and things, nishtanu ha things.
Right, you might have said nishtana teva. Okay. In any case, let's see for a moment the nafkamina. What is the nafkamina of these pshatim? What is the nafkamina of these pshatim? So, who is the one who sort of seems to... It's funny, it's a diok. What is the Baal HaMor? The Baal HaMor doesn't really say much. I mean, he's saying something else. What does the Baal HaMor say? He quotes the earlier part of the Yerushalmi. And then they say, how can you quote the earlier part of the Yerushalmi and forget the end of the Yerushalmi? You know, I don't know what. In any case, what does he say? He says, it not only do you need a candle at night, even during the day you need a candle. Even during the day you need a candle. And then he says, what does he say? He says, and not only your gimel, even during your dalet you need a candle. Meaning, on your, once it's the morning of your dalet, it's too late. There are no more nights left, right? You have no choice but do bdika during the day. Remember we saw that mishnah once, the chacham say if you didn't do bdika night, during the day. And what was I going to say? And the Balamor says, and you need a candle. So what's the deal they all make in the Balamor? The Balamor says, even on Yom Yudali, you need a candle. Sounds like even on Yom Yudali, you need a candle, in addition to Yom Yud Gimel. Sounds to the Balamor like Yom Yud Gimel is okay with the candle, because the Oraner is Yafa on Yom Yud Gimel as well. Oh, what about Bnei Mitzuyim Vateihem? So here, they're shown him when they quote the Balamor, or quote something similar to the Balamor. Some of them say, well, if it's Yom Yud Gimel, then, and you're at home, then you've proven your Mitzuyim Vateihem during the day, so that's also fine. Or some people say, no, it's talking about a person who doesn't work, so he's always Mitzuyim at home. Okay, but in any case, let's say you're Mitzuyim at home in the day, and it's Yom Yud Gimel, and you have a Ner, so what's enough Gemina? How about a Ner? Can you... I don't mean bidyevet. Bidyevet, if Orlar Basar, you were in a hospital and you were released in the morning, obviously bidyevet, you bidyevet during the day. What choice do you have? I mean, lechatchila on your gimel. Can you do bidika lechatchila bayom or haner? Can you do bidika lechatchila at home bayom or haner? So, if you're going to say the only reason night is better is because the Ner is available to you, then if you have a Ner available during the day, then it should be Matur Lechatchila. And I think, it's not me. I'm not putting together the Lamdas and Afkmina. The Ran says, well, at first I think the reason is that a Ner is equally good at all times. Just available at night's the Mina Takana. And according to this, the Ran says, if you decide to do it on Yom Yud Gimel B'ner, that's also fine, because the Ner is always equally good. And that's the sheet of the Balamor. And then he rejects him. Right? So this is, again, I'm not connecting this to Ran, is the Diyuk in the Lashon of the Balamor. Right? The Balamor seems to hold it. It's not Mukhrach. You could say what he meant is, not only on Yud Gimel do you have to wait for nighttime to use a candle, but even on Yud Dalet you have to use a candle. And they always seem to say, not only on Yud Gimel during the day you use a lamp, even on Yud Dalet during the day you use a lamp. So the Balamor, let's put it a little stronger, all the Rishonim assume the Balamor means this, says the Baal Hamor, and this is a diok in his Lashon, he doesn't say it explicitly, he says, Motor Livdok B'yom Yud Gimel Le'or Haner. Why? Because lamps are always equally good. They're always equally good. They're just available at night. But if you have a lamp during the day, and if you're home during the day, you've solved both problems. Man, the two reasons were not that lamps are better at night. That lamps are available in the day, and you're home at night, and you're home at night. So if you're home during the day, and you have a lamp during the day, then shteich. If, however, you say that the point is to have the contrast, then what should you say? What should you say logically? Are you allowed to do bedika during the day with a? Are you allowed to do bedika during the day with a lamp?
No,
only in a dark place, right? So then, what would you say? Then the nafkamina would be mutter rak imvoos afelim. In a dark place, it's okay because you still have the contrast, right? Or if you want the Xeris Akasav, right? In a dark place, you solve the contrast. But in a light place, you can't. So now we're halfway to the Balamor. Does anyone know anyone who paskins this way? The Ravid.
Ravid says you can't. The Ravid and the Ramban right. Say that you
the Ravid does not say that. But what did Liam mean? The Ravid had a Havamina that way. And the Me'iri had a Havamina that way. But of course, where did they both take this Havamina from? Who was the first one to have a Havamina that in a light place you can't, but in a dark place you can? Who's the first person to have a Havamina? What? Someone said? The Yerushalmi. Right? Yeah, the Ravid has that Havamina. The Meir has that Havamina, right? What's the Lashon of the Ravid? He says,
says the Ravid. Give me a second. Even if it's base afel, in the Bavli, we would have thought a base afel is okay. And the Meiri says, you might think even a base afel, but at first says even a base afel, and then he says, but the Yerushalmi. But what do we, what is, now, this is the Havamina, the Yerushalmi, and the Ravid al pi Bavli, right? He says that's his hobby if you only had the Bavli and the Meiri. Now, if the Ravid says from the Bavli, I would have thought this Havamina. He doesn't say the Balamor. The Ravid doesn't say I would have thought you can always use a lamp during the day, only in a dark place. The Meiri says, where's the Lush of the Meiri? 1 second, I printed out. Morty Makoros here. What does he say? He says, Ha'adam Batal Beis Afel Yerami So Yezu Shefter Lubegel. The Meir is quoting the Ravid. Is it a surprise the Meir is quoting the Ravid? No. They're both from Provence. And what's the Meir's nickname for the Ravid? Gedolei HaMefarshim. Rashi's not Gedolei HaMefarshim. The Ravid's Gedolei HaMefarshim. Right? Rashi's Gedolei Rabbanim. I have no deal in that. But, so, let's say even better. The Havim Yerushalmi and the Ravid and the Meiri, Lefi Ma Lefi Abavli Lechud. Al Pi Abavli Lechud. If it had only had the Bavli, we would have said in a dark alley it's okay. But in the Yerushalmi not. And the Yerushalmi, at first, what's the Havmi? They don't say, can you use a candle during the day? They already said. At first, the Yerushalmi said in the first line here, the way I might, Mikorshi, Ein Dikas Er Yofel Malayla. They know you can't use a lamp during the day, but nonetheless, they say, maybe in a dark place you can. So what do we see from here? I don't have a Shita, I only have a Havmina. We see from here that at least in the Havmina of the Yerushalmi, and at least in the Ravid and the Meiri, what they would have said based on the Bavli, we see the Shita that's all about contrast. Because why would there be a difference between a dark place during the day and a light place during the day? Because of contrast. So that's what I said. I can infer that no one says the Shita, but I can infer the Shita, but only in a Havamina. Now, I don't have anyone who says Lamaskana in a dark alley, a dark place, it's okay. You know, maybe there's some Shita out there that I'm not aware of in some more obscure Makar, but I don't know of such a Shita. But that would be the Nafkamina. If a candle wasn't, a lamp wasn't better during at night, Balamor. If it's a matter of contrast, then it depends if it's dark or light. But if you take the Yerushalmi, then obviously, then Aser Legamre, which is the, then it should be always Aser to use it during the, you should, one say, never be allowed to use a, to do Bedikah during the day, because even if you, no matter how light or dark it is, and even if you bring a candle, nonetheless, according to Yerushalmi, lamps are fundamentally brighter during the night than day, even though we don't understand the physics. And this is the Yerushalmi and the Maskana of all the Rishonim that I've seen all say that. And that's what you get even in the postgame down to Mishnah Brura, etc. So here we have the three Shitas as to why we have to use the lamp, Davka, during the night.
Rebbe? Uh-huh. Rebbe?
Yes. Rebbe?
But a little bit of that Havamina still sticks because they understand, the Raiva, the Ramban still understand that if for some reason someone did not do Bedikas Chametz at night, Leil Yudalit, he can still do it the next day of Yom Yudalit with a candle. So it might be a bidyevid, but it isn't ruled out.
That's no chiddush, the fact that he did on this. That's just he has no choice. There is no other option. He didn't do Leil Yudalit.
Yeah, but if you rule it,
anything, that doesn't
if you
prove
completely
anything.
Rule it out, if you completely rule it out, then say it's ineffective, it has no use.
No, saying it's ineffective. No one's saying it's ineffective. We're just saying it's not as good. Everyone agrees it's better than nothing.
But is that because it starts?
Nothing. We're just saying it's not as good.
Yeah, but is that because it's still that Havamina from the Yerushalmi?
Yerushalmi is not saying
stays.
That lamps
Oh, the Rishonim is not saying that lamps don't give light after during the day, just that it's not as good. So b'di'eved, you do what you can. Okay, five will ask a great question. You know, there's a big machlokes among modern day poskim, no? My sir of Sternbach has a page, a little footnote about this in his Haggadah Shal Pesach. I think it's called Haggadah Smod Muzmanim, which would make sense. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's called Haggadah Smod Muzmanim. He has, in the very beginning, he has a piece about this. Fascinating, other nafkamina. This is not found in the Mishnah Berurah. Why is it not found in the Mishnah Berurah? Because the Mishnah Berurah didn't have electric lights on the ceilings. Yeah, other people did in the days of Mishnah Berurah, but the Mishnah Berurah didn't. Not electric lights on his ceiling, not gas lights on his wall, etc. You know, all the Mishnah Berurah had was what they had in these Chazal, was what they had in the time of Avraham. That's what the Mishnah Berurah had. But nowadays, we all have lights on the ceiling. So Avada, we use an air. It's partial we have to use an air, just Chorin is stuck in. The most obvious shot, the light in the ceiling don't go in the Chorin is stuck in, right? If I want to look under that bookcase, the lights in the ceiling are not going to help me. I need a Nair. The question is, when I use my Nair, do I turn the lights off or leave them on? Right? What do I do with the lights while I use the Nair? Okay. What did you do growing up? Did you turn the lights off for B'digas Chametz? Turn them on or just either way? You turn them off. Turn them off. Off. Left them on. Okay. Ah, so we'll see what kind of shake it is in a moment. The truth is, I don't know what all poskim in the world say about this. I just saw a couple, but says the Rav Sternbach, and I got his mod and his vanim, he says, Misvari, you should turn the lights off. So you're really using the Nair. But the minhag olam is to leave the lights on. And therefore, it must be okay. And I'll explain why in a moment. So it says Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I think this is Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I don't think it was his father. I think it's Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Leaves the lights on for B'dika. So Fivel is not such a big shagetz as you think. Oh, what did the Dirshu say? Anyone? You have a Dirshu on your computer? No. Aha. Oh. Okay, yeah, I didn't look in the Dirshu what he said, but I'd be very interested to know. Okay. In any case, meanwhile, what should that depend on? Let's see. What's shot? What should this depend on? Do you have to turn the lights off when you do B'digas Chametz or not? So obviously, that should depend on this. This Chakira. If you say the reason why night is better is because of the contrast, or because Shragi Dharmai Mahani, you need it to be really useful, then you have to turn the lights off. Right? That's the second. Nafkamina 1, which is in the Rishonim. Nafkamina 2, which is in the contemporary poskim. I'm scrolling. Let's give Fievel a chance to... You found it. What does the Dershu say?
That's better to leave it on if it helps you for the pika. Says this is also the Shita of Rav Moshe Feinstein or Liasha.
Yes. Morelis. I forgot. I also saw Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote this. How many people did you guys just call? Not how many people. How great people. You know? Okay, so based on what the Dershu say, the Dershu says everyone leaves the lights on. And they, I meant to mention. It's Mefurash in the English Moshe. Not just a story, but first in Eger's motion, you can leave the lights on. Basically, all the posts can say you can leave the lights on, but how? So, this is a nafkamina. How is this a nafkamina, Rabosai? If you say that it's because of contrast, then you should have to turn the lights off. Because the whole reason why, or in Eriyah Flubdika, is for the contrast. And, or even Zerat Sakosim, you need a contrast, so it'll be useful. So, you have to turn the lights off to have the contrast.
But if you say it's based on the Rishalmi, whose physics we don't understand, that it's just fundamental. What does Rishalmi say? In a dark cave, if it's dark anyway, the lamp's brighter at night. So if it's light anyway, the lamp's also brighter at night. Right? Regardless of whether it's light or dark, the lamp's better at night. Then it's be very pashut. Then you don't need to turn the lights off. And says the Shevet HaLevi, quoted in the Dirshu, that if you don't need to turn the lights off, then maybe you should leave them on if you think it'll help in your bedika. Just use your practical judgment. There's no takanas chazal either way. So if you think it'll be better, then dafka, leave them on. You know, do whatever for your practical judgment makes the most sense. So this is a big nafkamina of nowadays. Should you turn the lights off or should you leave the lights on? According to the Ran, to begin, according to the Ran Balamor, that it's not, there is no difference in the day and night. But also, obviously, you would say you don't need to turn the lights off. Now, let's explain the modern day poskim. We all think in our havamina, because we're all rationalists, we all think scientific, we all think in our havamina that, well, the reason can't be because fires are bigger metaphysically during the night. It must be because of the contrast. And if it's because of the contrast, you have to turn your lights off. And that's what three of the four Talmidim in this room did growing up. But apparently all the poskim in the Dirshu and the Piskei Tshuvos as well, quotes basically only this side, except for the Havamina of Rav Schermbach. But even Rav Schermbach says, that's not his maskana. Rav Melamed says?
Pretty sure.
Rav Melamed versus all of the poskim?
That makes sense.
It's
very him.
It's not the first time and won't be the last. Yes. So, okay, it's good. You need someone. But anyway, what's pshat? Why do all the poskim, the Chazon Ish, I mean, all the modern-day poskim, since they invented electric lights, almost. Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish, and Rav Schermbach, the Shevet HaLevi, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and the Stifler? You had the Stifler in there? So doesn't matter. Okay, Seder. Anyway, why? Because they all assume like the Rishalmi. Oh, we don't understand the Rishalmi, maybe Nishtana Teva, but if the reason is for the Rishalmi, then there's no need to turn the lights off. So, theoretically, of course, you could say that there's two reasons, Rishalmi and contrast. So, we should also, it's an interesting question, if the Havmi, the Rishalmi is contrast, and the Maskana is that metaphysics, then does that mean the Maskana is only metaphysics, or contrast also? So maybe that could be the Nafkamina. If you say that the reason is only contrast, or also contrast, you should have to turn the lights off. If you say the reason is pure Maskana, the Rishalmi, and certainly if you say like the Balamar, then there's no need to turn the lights off. Halacha l'maisa, okay. Everyone should follow their own minhag, but the mainstream post can just go with the Rishalmi. And the questions of the science and et cetera don't bother them. And therefore, they possibly don't turn the lights off. So that's a real practical nafkamina. If you're a big rationalist, you should turn your lights off.
But don't they all say you don't have to turn your lights off. But if you don't have to turn your lights off, and there is the matter of the contrast, what do you lose by turning the lights off? You're fulfilling that havamina also.
Okay, but if we don't paskin like it, then you don't have to fulfill every havamina, right? The Gemara says v'dibarta bam yachol dvarim b'teilim, so you don't have to fulfill that havamina.
In the spirit of this discussion. In the spirit of this discussion, is there a discussion about only using a ner shemen, which is historically is a ner?
I haven't seen any post. Well, hold on. If you mean ner shemen as opposed to shava or as opposed to chelev, then no, because historical ner could be shava, could be chelev. They usually use shemen. If you mean ner shemen as opposed to flashlight, which is what Liam just asked, then, okay, I said I was going to save some things to talk about later, but I'll, what are they saying now? Are they spoiler alert? Basically, that's going to have something to do with the question of, that's going to tie into the question of Gzeres HaKosov. If you're going to say it's Gzeres HaKosov, you might need Davka Chalos Ner. If you're going to say it's for some practical reason, then you should be able to use a flashlight. And we'll quote the post from that when we get to Daf Zion and we get more into the Hakira. And like I said, whether Rashi really means it, is the Ner Gzeres HaKosov, or is the Ner just that it practically goes into Choron Usdokin or creates contrast? So we'll get to that. We'll get to that, Mirtz Hashem, before Pesach time, so we'll know what to do.
Oh, no. The Ron just thought of this svara on his own and then said, and that works out with the Balamor. Without Tragavatara Manahani, you mean? Xerath A. Hold on. No. But I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. No. You're breaking my rules. One question is why you need a nair. The other question is why the nair has to be at night. You're saying the Malamor could have been one answer to this question, but I want to know which answer to this question the Malamor is based on. And then that's the only candidate. Well, hold it. What's the answer to the question? Why the nair at night, Dafka? Don't say Xeris Acosta. That doesn't explain why Dafka at night. Why Dafka at night? No, but the Gemara, our Gemara says, Orinari Yafu Dika connect nair to nighttime. You're fine, but you're ignoring our Gemara. No, but if it's better to do it at night, then the Malamor's wrong. Then you can't do it your Gimel. You have to do it better on Lel Yadalit. I see what you're saying. The Malamor could be saying that Taka, it's better mitzvah mobchar to do it Lel Yadalit. A Taka candle is better at night. Well, you don't have to be Yotzei Lamahadrin. You're saying different. The Rambam to explain the Malamor, right, it's really fine. You want to say maybe the Malamor just means, you know, if you're not Mahadrin, then you could do it during the day, but it's not as good. Not impossible. I hear the Taina. I think most people are reading the Balamor. It's totally fine. It's just as good. But you're right. If you're going to read the Balamor, he just says you can do an inferior Bedika. But it's still tricky because our Gemara says, or in a Yafla Bedika, they're attacking it at night. It sounds like they want you to do a better Bedika. So it's still tricky to say, the Balamor says, or in air is more Yaf at night, but you don't have to do that. But our Gemara sounds like you have to do it, that was the Takana. Let's say our Gemara meant the Lechachila, not Lechachila, because the Balamor is also Lechachila. It's going to be very subtle. You can get away with it, but I'm not sure it's worth it.
Why you
right, but what does the Balamor do with our Gemara? That ordinary Yafla B'dika at night? Okay. Noach, give a chance. Next line in the Gemara.
Rabbi.
Next. Hilkach. What does Hilkach mean? Therefore. Talmud Chacham should not start his Seder of learning before the 14th, meaning a Leil B'dikas Chametz. Dilma Mashkel Ashmate Va'atilunui Mi Mitzvah. Maybe he'll get involved in his Sugya, he'll get Rangatan in his learning, and he will not do the Mitzvah. Okay, so you're not allowed to learn hour beforehand or just at the time, etc. The Maiso, which way do we say Lamaisa?
You're a gap, you're a Yeshiva student, so then you're Mako. Everyone else in the world is not teaching.
What does he say here? The Mishnah brings two deos. The Mishnah brings two deos, doesn't give a clear hachra. It sounds like he wants to compromise and say, sounds like he wants to be machmir, but he doesn't give a clear hachra. Okay, but in any case, we're not dealing with that now, even though it might be relevant soon. The question is, what's the hilkach? Hilkach, what does that mean? Helkach means it has to do with what we just said. Now, not, it doesn't have to do with the fact that Orlar Basar Bokin's Chametz Lo'er Ner. Don't say Helkach because there's a mitzvah of Dikas Chametz and Orlar Basar, therefore you can't learn because you might get involved in your Sugya and not do Dikas Chametz. Because then that it should be on the Mishnah. That's not Hilkach. Hilkach means based on what we just said, not based on the Mishnah. So somehow something we just said, if it was just the Mishnah, it wouldn't have been so worried. But something we just said made him more worried, more so than the Mishnah. What that he just said, what is it that is more than found in the Mishnah, more than the bare fact of Orlar Basar Bokmus Chomis Le'aner that justifies the Hilkach? Who knows the two pshat in here? What justifies the Hilkach? Anyone? What? Let's see. Says the Me'iri. I don't see this in the Me'iri, meaning he mentions reason, and a few lines later he mentions that, but he says Me'ata, Me'ata is Hilkach. So it just says Me'ata, etc., etc., etc. He shouldn't start his learning because maybe Yavol de Bittel Mitzvah. I don't know, he doesn't mention Zrizos in this context. Which Rishon explicitly is bothered by this question and deals with it? The Ritva. Says the Ritva. Amar by Hilkach v'chuli. Perish HaRitva Zal. Kevon the time of Lav Mishum Zrizos El Mishum Sh'orner Yafeh. Meaning, if we just had the Mishnah, we wouldn't have known what the reason is. And if the reason was just Zrizos, it wouldn't be a big deal. Let's say the reason for Bdikas Laila is Zrizos. We'd say, you know what? And if you miss Bdikas Laila, we'll do Bdikas Yom. What's the big deal? Right? Like, why do we have to be so worried? Imagine, you have, 17 hours to do Bdika. I understand you're going to sleep some of those. Why be so worried if you have 17 hours to do Bdika? Ah, Zrizos. Okay. If you don't have Zrizos, the world doesn't come to an end. You don't take a zero to Zrizos. So the Ritva says, if the reason had been Zrizos, which is the Havamin of our Gemara, then we wouldn't have made a Xera. But since the reason is Oraner Yafeh, you don't have 17 hours to do it. You only have 12 hours to do a proper Bdika, because the Oraner is not good in the morning. And what do you mean 12 hours to do a proper Bdika? You're going to fall asleep. So you only have a short time to do a proper Bdika. Then we have to make a Xera. That's how the Ritva reads this. That's how the Ritva reads the Hilkach. Right, what is the Hilkach? What is the Hilkach? Says the Ritva, since Bidikas Yom is not a good Bidika, and not merely a lack of Zrizos. Lo Yitzir B'dikas Yom was only a lack of Zrizos, the Havmina. We wouldn't make a Gzeira. We would say, worst comes to worst, you'll learn, you'll fall asleep, you'll do it in the morning. You're not going to forget in the morning, right? But now that we know B'dikas Yom is not good, you might miss Chametz during the day because the Orner is not Yafeh. Now that we know B'dikas Yom, you're not going to find all your Chametz. If you don't find Chametz, that's really bad. So you're not going to mekayim a proper bdika. Then we have to make you zero to make sure you do it at night. Then make a zera to ensure that you do bdikas laila. That's the ritva. It's because laila is really better than it's really important to do it at night, not during the day. Why? Because oraner yafel bdika. That's the ritva. However, what does the, who else did I put on the Makoros sheet here? The Taz, what does the Taz say? Does the Taz say the same as the Ritva or a little different? What does the Taz say? The Taz says, I think he quotes explicitly, based on the Ravid, remember the Chiddush of the Ravid? The Chiddush of the Ravid was Orlar Basar, not the Chiddush of the Ravid according to the Ran. Chiddush of the Ravid according to the Levush and the Gra and whoever else we quoted, that the Takana wasn't to do it at night. It's not like all the other nighttime mitzvos, right? What does the Mishnah say in Megillah? All mitzvos that are at night, mitzvosim is called Alayla, No. I mean, there aren't so many, but whatever there are. No, the mitzvah is davka when there's still light outside. The Zman is Davka Tchilas Halayla. Everything later is just Tashlum. That's my word, not his. That was the Raivid, remember? So, what did the Taz say? I'll pee the Raivid. I'll pee the Raivid. It makes perfect sense. What's the Hilkach? Taz ve'od. I'll pee her Raivid. What do the Taz and others say based on the Raivid? And from the Mishnah, we would have thought, Orlar Basar means anytime at night. Anytime at night. You don't have to make such harsh zeros. Did you ever hear? The answer might be yes. But did you, according to Mari Weil? But did you ever hear that if you have to say Kriya Shema and do Sfiras HaOmer at night, you're not allowed to learn because you might forget the mitzvah? No, we don't ask you to learn at night. Adram, it's very chashuv to learn at night. Right? They say no. If from the Mishnah we would have thought you just have to do it at night. If you have to do it at night, you can learn a little and you do it later at night. Now that we know Bishashim then Mitsuim Vatei, and not an ordinary Yafel of Dika. Ordinary is that any more Yafel in one part of the night than the other. As a matter of fact, if anything, the opposite. Maybe it's more Yafel later in the night. No, now that we know Mitsuim Vatei Hem Alpi the Ravid, now that we know that they were Mitakin Davka Betchilas Halayla. Davka Betchilas Halayla, not based, here it's based on the Or Haner. Here it's based on B'nai Adam Mitsuyin. Alpi HaRaivid Kipeira Shalavosh. Right? That they were attacking Davka Tchilas Halayla, because Davka Tchilas Halayla B'nai Adam are Mitsuyin. We say, since the Iker's man is not all night, but Davka Tchilas Halayla, then you have to make a lot of xeros. You could easily miss the Tchilas Halayla, right? It's very easy to miss the Tchilas Halayla. Therefore, but Davka Tchilas Halayla, therefore, make a xera so you don't miss Tchilas Halayla. Okay, that's the two different pshatim in this hilkach. Is the hilkach, now that we know that night is crucial and not just rizos, as opposed to day? Or is the hilkach, now that we know the Iker's man is tchilas halayla and not, give me a second, Feivel, now that we know the Iker's man is tchilas halayla and not the whole night? I know b'di'evit you could do the whole night. B'di'evit you could always do the next day, but that's only b'di'evit. You're not being kind to kunz chazal kelchaso, tashlumen, say, I'll miss shachris, but I'll do tashlumen at mincha. No. We make gzeira. Don't miss shachris, do tashlum at mincha. Do the mitzvah the way you're supposed to. Don't do tashlumin later. And really doing it at 9 o'clock at night is tashlumin later. Right? There's a big, some people are not so makbid on doing the beginning of the night. According to this, that's called lamnui mi mitzvah. Doesn't mean you don't do tashlumin. You can do tashlumin at mincha, but you're still lamnui mi mitzvah. Now, one thing you have to point out, by the way, before I take Feivel's question is, then what time are you not allowed to learn? Obviously, they don't mean you're not allowed to learn at seis. At seis, it's not, maybe you'll get involved in so you don't do the mitzvah. If you learn at seis, you're vadai not doing the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is dafka the beginning of the night. You have to say, either the Taz says, the Zman is seis, but you can't learn from Shkia, or you can't learn a half hour before the Zman. So you have to say, the Gzera is not to learn even before the Zman, either half hour before, or during Benish Mashos, if you assume the Zman is seis, like the Taz does. The Taz interestingly says, okay, I didn't put this on the course sheet. Why do we need two reasons of the Adam and Suyim Vatehem and Or Haner Yafel of Dika? So why do we need these two reasons? So there are many pshatim why we need the two reasons. Without the Yerushalmi, we would say, you need ordinary Yafel of Dika to teach you that even an unemployed person can't do it during the day. And you need the Adam Tzuyim Vatehem to teach you that you can't do it in Mevos HaFalem during the day if you're busy with work. Okay, there are other pshatim, depending on what we say later on, about a chsadra, about a lit courtyard, you could say you need ordinary Yafel of Dika to teach you that an unemployed person can't do it during the day. You need the Adam Tzuyim Vatehem to teach you that you can't do an chsadra during the day. said the Taz, you need Bnei Adam Mitzvim Vateyim to teach you that you have to be makna on the mitzvah from Shkia. That's when people get home. Remember, we saw Tosos and Rinchah. I don't know if you looked it up in Bava Metzia. He assumed you'll be home at Shkia. And we need Orner Yoflu Medika to teach you you can't do it till Tseis. Because the Orner is not Yof until Tseis. And therefore, the Takana is you have to start waiting to do it at Shkia and not start doing it till Tseis and just wait from Shkia to Tseis. And that's exactly leads into the Hilkach. Okay, but let's get back to this. Now, or what do we want to know if we have two different pshatim, whether the Hilkach is just because night is substantive and not just rezus, or is it because the beginning of the night is substantive and not just rezus? We could think of many nafkaminas. Right? The main nafkaminas are basically what do all the achronim do? Rishonim don't. But all the achronim take the halachos that come of our sugya of the isser of doing things before b'dikas chametz. Take the halachos that come from which masechet of doing things before all mitzvahs. Shabbos, right? First parak of Shabbos, the daf testament days, right? Continuing through yud, etc. And compare them. Do they match or do they not match? So what's the basic nafkamina? The basic nafkamina is what else is at night? Kriya Shema, right? Maariv is not such a good nafkamina because feels Arvus Rishus. Kriya Shema is not Rishus. Kriya Shema is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay, Sfiras Omer, but that's not discussed in the Gemara, right? Kriya Shema. Are the halachas the same as Kriya Shema or not? According to the ritual, it should be the same as Kriya Shema. What's the chiddush of the Hilkach? It must be at night. And Kriya Shema must be at night. B'shach b'cha. According to the Taz, however, this is different than Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, all night is equal. There's rezus. But all night is equal. Did anyone ever, you ever meet anyone who's super duper machmed say Kriya Shema as soon as it comes time for tzeis? That's a nice rezus, but you know, if the minion's later, seder. You know, I haven't seen much of that hakpada. Maybe someone in the world. I never met anyone with that hakpada. But here, you have to do it exactly at Seis or Shki or whatever. Let's assume we possibly at Seis, even though that wasn't the draw. So that's basically all the nafkaminas are going to be comparing Kriya Shema and Bidikas Chametz. So let's do one example. What's the problem they all have? What does the Gemara say? This actually is not in Shabbos. This is in Brachos, right? Daf Dalet or something. A person shouldn't come home and say, I will eat a little and drink a little and sleep a little. Ochel kima, v'eshe kima, v'eishan kima. And then I'll say Kriya Shema. Because I'll just sleep all night and miss Kriya Shema. Rather, what should he do? Not say Kriya Shema and then learn. Am I yoraga l'kros kor? Am I yoraga l'shlo shona? And then he should say Kriya Shema and daven, etc., etc. It says like it's like an adhetor. It's like almost a recommendation. Oh, you should learn before Kriya Shema. Hold on, you're not allowed to learn before b'dikas chametz, but you're allowed to learn before Kriya Shema. How does it make sense? So number one, the question is nafkamina one is comparison of Kriya Shema versus Bidika with regard to Isser Lilmod Torah. Eating, drinking, all the poskim here say that's a reasonable thing, right? We're all from people. If you're not allowed to learn Torah, poskim, you're not allowed to eat and drink. That seems reasonable to all of us, so far at least. But so that's the same. But learning Torah, this is a stira. What do we do with this? What do we do with this stira? So, who has no problem with this stira? The Taz. Says the Taz, by Kriya Shema it's mutter, by Bidikas Chametz it's aser, because Kriya Shema is all night, and Bidikas Chametz is only the beginning of the night, and everything else is B'diyevet Tashlumet. For the Taz, it makes perfect sense. But if you hold like the Ritva, then there's no difference. They should be exactly the same. So who would work for the Ritva? The Mahari Weil. Says the Mahari Weil, nope. Kriya Shema Aser and Bidika Aser. How does he know Kriya Shema is Aser? Because there's no difference in Kriya Shema and Bidika. They're exactly the same. They're both things you have to do at night, not during the day. So if the Chametz has to be at night, not during the day, and it's Aser to learn, Kol Shekein Kriya, why Kol Shekein? The Chametz has to be at night, but you can at least do Tashlumin the next day. Kriya Shema, if you don't do it at night, what pasuk applies? Me'uvos lo yuchal iska, the Gemara says in Brachos, right? So, Kolshkin is also to learn. Everyone asked the Mari while he's against it often a Gemara. So, okay, so you have to answer up. Everyone get all the Echron and give different answers to Mari while. When that Gemara meant you learned before Kriya Shema, it didn't really mean learning. It just meant like a little learning. That's also mutter here. It's not psicha be'idne. It didn't mean a seder. It just means a shir and shul, and then the shir ends, and everyone knows that it ends, etc. That wasn't real learning. That was a different kind of learning. But like actually psicha be'idne, to sit and learn. Okay, the Miri says only starting the sechet, then there will be no steer at all. But even if you say no, here it means to start your Seder. To start learning a Seder of learning at home is usher even before Kriya Shema. To mamash sit down with the Gemara at home is also before Kriya Shema. That Gemara just meant that you have like a 5-minute shiur for the rabbi and shul and then it ends. Meaning if you assume that they're not usher to learn a half hour beforehand now. It's only usher to learn from when this man comes. Then maybe here it's learning when this man comes, and there it's learning before this man. There are many ways. You're right. There are many ways to answer. Correct. I think I don't remember seeing that someplace, but I'm sure one of the Achronim says it. Yeah, I'm sure one of the Achronim says it. Okay, Kriya Shema is also Oster, and that Gemara that means in a different way. Okay, the Bach interestingly gives a more technical answer. He wants to say the Mari Weil is too radical. Yet he's clearly not the Taz. You see, the Bach is not the Taz. According to the Taz, it's so obvious. If you hold like the Taz, obviously you say like the Taz here. It's so posh. The Bach apparently held like the Ritva. Says the Bach, he says, no, Kriya Shema, it's Mutter, like Pshat of the Gemara, and Bedika, it's Aser. What's the difference? The difference is not in terms of timing. The difference is, the Taz doesn't say what the Bach says. You have to look at the Bach inside. The difference is more psychological. Says the Bach, Kriya Shema is every night. You'll probably remember. Bedikas Chametz is once a year, it's easy to forget, which is a double-edged sword psychologically. I might have said, you're so excited about Bedikas Chametz. Come on, who's going to forget Bedikas Chametz? Are you going to forget Purim? You're going to forget Pesach? Okay, you can see it different ways psychologically. Yeah, okay, correct. So that's what he says. He gives a technical explanation, right? Says the Bach, he gives a technical. I mean, these are all technical, but it means a non-time-based explanation. Mutter, because it's every day, so you're less likely to forget. And usher, because it's once a year, and something once a year, you can more easily forget. Okay, the psychologist, I'll let the psychologist argue whether Bach is a good svar or not. Okay, what's another
so you're
possible?
Saying that, so you're saying that the Taz argues with his father-in-law?
I'm not saying the Taz is saying he argues with his father-in-law. He always argues with his father-in-law.
Okay.
That's how you respect your father-in-law, by arguing with him in Torah. Family. I'm sure they got along just fine. I wouldn't worry. Right? You stay friends. Okay, what's another nafkamina? Another nafkamina could be the same comparison of Kriya Shema versus Bedikas Chametz. Le'inyan what? Le'inyan Im Hischil, let's even say Beheter, Ha'im Mafsikin. Let's say you started learning Beheter. Okay, you can also always, even Beheter is not so pushing. Let's say, obviously, you started learning Beheter, right? This is the first Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Tes. What did the Mishnah say? I think it's in the Mishnah there explicitly. Im Hischil, Im Mafsikin. Yeah, I think it's in the Mishnah there. So, what do we say normally by Kriya Shema, Tefillah, etc., if you already started something? Then, ein mafsikin, you don't have to stop. What if you already started learning? Do you have to stop or do you not have to stop? Open up our handy dandy Mishnah Brura, Siman Tav Lamed Aleph. Ve'im hiska lilmo mi ba'od yom, ein tzarich lahafsik. If you already started, mi ba'od yom, seemingly beheter, you don't have to stop. That's the general rule. When you're in the middle of something, you don't have to stop because the mitzvah came. You shouldn't start, but if you're already in the middle, I shouldn't start eating, samach l'mincha, samach to this, samach to that. But if I'm right in the middle of eating, I don't have to stop. Says the Rama, V'yei shomrim tzarech lahafzik v'chein yirli ikar machlokes ashkenazim and svardim. The Machaber says you don't have to stop. And the Rama says, not just yei shomrim v'nirli ikar, that you do have to stop. This is a machlokes rishonim between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Tor. Do you have to stop? Do you not have to stop? What's everyone's kasha? Everyone's kasha is,
Everyone's kasha is, but we know by Kriya Shema, if you start Behefter, you don't have to stop. Even if you start Be'esser, some cases you don't have to stop. No, but leaving that aside, we know if you start Behefter, you don't have to stop. Ma pitom. How could it be? So, l'chora, the question is not how to justify the Rabbeinu Yonah and the, that's easy. What's the question? If anyone could say Rabbeinu Yonah, right? What do we see here? Rabbeinu Yonah and the Mechaber say, in both cases, ein mafsikin. Both cases, ein mafsikin. That works for any pshat. Ein mafsikin. Ein mafsikin can just be a general rule that overrides everything. And hits for ein mafsikin. Although, I wonder about that. I take it back, actually. Okay. I agree. I already took it back. So what are you going to say? If you want to say like the Ritva, in which case we can prove the Mechaber holds like the Ritva, which is not so crazy. Mechaber doesn't have to hold like the Taz. Here you could say like Rabbeinu Yonah and the Mechaber that the Shnehem ain't mafsikin. Ain't mafsikin. If there's a mitzvah that you have 12 hours of nighttime to do, which is the Ritva's shot of Digas Chametz and Kriya Shema, then you shouldn't start, but I'm Heschel Eim Afsikin. However, if y'all like the Taz, no, the Ikerzman is the beginning. Everything else is only the Dievet. Then the Chora, what do you mean? What do you mean Eim Afsikin? You're going to miss out on the Mitzvah. How can you have me? That's what, no, because Eim Afsikin. Then you should say like the Tor and the Ramah. What does he say? In Kriya Shema Eim Afsikin. Why? Because you have 12 hours. But in Bedika Mafsikin. Because you don't have 12 hours. You have 12 hours tashlumen, but to do the mitzvah drabbanan the way they were mitake, to do the mitzvah kilchasa, you only have 1 second. So of course you have to be mafsik. It's pasha you should have to be mafsik. So that would be justify the Torah and the Ramah. Of course, what happened interestingly, not all Ashkenazim like this Taz. Again, I'm speaking anachronistically, right? A lot of them lived before the Taz. Some lived after. Now, a lot of Ashkenazim like the Ritva. And if you like the Ritva, then the Ramah, if you like the Ritva and you're Ashkenazic, then you're a little stuck. What do you do with the Torah and the Ramah? You can't say I pass like the Mechaber, but if you hold like the Ritva, what are you going to do? So, what are you going to do to be Metarit, the Torah and the Ramah? So I have two answers that I found. I'm sure there's a gazillion answers. Just two that I found conveniently here. But by the way, who says what I just said? Who says that this is based on the Taz? The Taz himself doesn't say it. Who explains this? The Gra and the Mishnah Berurah and many others. Says the Gra. He says, what do you mean? Yerushalmi. Interestingly, what's Yerushalmi say? Hayom v'alayla mishumarim. Remember that was another pshat in the Ravid? Yerushalmi yom v'alayla mishumarim. No, it's really a kiyum to have the whole night and the whole day. It has to be the beginning. Yeah, but yeben, you do it. But the chachila, the chi of the rabbanim is through the beginning. So that's the Taz says, you know why the Ramah passing like the Torah? You know why we pass mafsikin? Because the Ikerzman is the beginning. And the Mishnah Berurah says that as well. However, a lot of Achronim, so the Mishnah Berurah is with the Taz here, and the Gros with the Taz. But a lot of Achronim want to hold like the Ritva. So what do you do? So says the Magen Avraham, he makes an Okimta. What's his Okimta? His Okimta is the Torah and the Ramah we're only talking about. Hischel be'isser. Even Hischel be'isser, you don't always have to be mafsik. Okay, but Hischel be'isser and Doraisa, you have to be mafsik. And Bedikas Chametz is a drabbanan that is connected to a Doraisa, right? So, you can get away with it. Okimta, demairi davga, im Hischel be'isser. Okay, if you make that Okimta, but that's an Okimta like, what's the problem? The problem is the Ramah should have said so. If there's a difference between Hiskel be'isser and Hiskel be'heter, he should have said so. So it's a dochuk okimta, but within that dochuk okimta, be'seder. The Chuk Yaakov, I just wanted to point out, has a very, very clever pshat. Okay, this is very inspiring for all of us. What does Chuk Yaakov say? Sorry, I don't have space here. So I'll just make myself an embassy here. Says the Chuk Yaakov, He says, no. Gam b'kriyashma. There's no difference in kriyashma and b'dika, right? There's no difference in kriyashma and b'dika. He is a ritvayud. Oh, what's the difference? What did Rabbi the Torah and the Ramah say after Imafsik for b'dika? Learning. What does the Mishnah and Shabbos say you don't have to be mafsik for tefillah and kriyashma? What? What don't you have to be mafsik for tefillah and kriyashma in the Sechah Shabbos?
Eating.
Eating. You don't have to be mafsik eating, you have to be mafsik learning. No problem. He says, Lima Torah mafsikin, Achila ein mafsikin. Oh, that sounds perverse and backwards. What do you mean? What are we, fressers? What do we think? Oh, Haz is more middle of Haba than eating. Oh, don't interrupt your eating. Eating is really important. But learning Torah, that's just a cute thing from your culture. Interrupt? No, that's obviously not. Says Chad Yaakov, no. Because eating, again, he obviously never went on a Pesach program. But he says, eating, how much can you eat? Eventually you get full and you have to stop eating. You can't eat for 10 hours. You know, your stomach will burst, right? Eating, you soon enough, you'll stop eating. But learning Torah is endless. Gashmias is limited. There's only a certain amount you can eat before you throw up. But Torah is endless. The more Torah, the better. There's no end to Torah. Therefore, even though Torah is so much more important, but we're gozer mafsik Torah because there's no end to Torah. We're not gozer mafsik eating because you'll have to stop eating anyway because gashmias hana'a is limited. The only hana that's unlimited, that's boundless, is Lima Torah. And that's what he says. What's the svara? The svara is because, as I think his lashon is, aim locates. It has no end, it's infinite. As opposed to eating, where it certainly has a kates when you are katz ba'achila. Okay, so that's a very, very important hakira about Abaye. Now, in the few minutes we have left, I want to go back to I hope I'll have time to finish everything in the Makor sheet. But I want to go back to something we didn't get into yet, because I wanted to start with the V'dikas Chametz, specific things. Noach, give me your chance, please. And then go to general things. Zrizim Akdivin L'mitzvos. Right? Yesh Makom Lachkor. Right? Whenever you see Zrizim Akdivin L'mitzvos, okay. This is, you know, the Chakir doesn't flow from the Sugya. The Sugya says Zrizim Akdivin L'mitzvos. But nonetheless, inquiring minds want to know, why are Zrizim Akdivin L'mitzvos? Why is it Zrizus to do mitzvos earlier rather than later? What Zrizus in the English Mesilas Yesharim translates it as alacrity. It's a good word. But I'm not sure whose reason are. The alacritous? Anyway, the Zrizin are Makdivin L'mitzvos. Why are Zrizim Makdivin L'mitzvos? Why is it so important? It's we learned from the Torah. L'chor it's midoraisa. I don't mean necessarily like it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a value midoraisa. Why is Zrizim Akdivin L'mitzvos? What does the Me'iri say? Why is Zrizim Akdivin L'mitzvos? The Me'iri in Horios says, why is Zrizim Akdivin L'mitzvos? Just explain what kind of ideal form you're referring to. Physical ideal form, mental ideal form.
Exactly.
Says the Me'iri. He says, I have it right here. He says, first thing he talks about midos. You should always have good midos, even in things that are not mamish a mitzvah and avera, right? Even if a mitzvah is not totally bam, it's not mamish the difference between mitzvah and avera, you have to work on your midos. And then he says, and of course, if you have a mitzvah, you should be zrizim akdimin. Why? Not having zrizah is not a good kavanah. If you don't have zrizah, you're doing it as a routine or as a burden. You're not excited about it. When you're excited about something, then, you know, meaning zrizah makdimim l'mitzvos is not that, like, once you're a zariz, you realize you're makdim l'mitzvos. If you're a zariz, you're naturally makdim l'mitzvos. You should be a zariz. What is a zariz? Someone who's excited. For the Me'iri, it's excitement. You should do mitzvos with a bren. Right? You should do mitzvos with excitement. If you're excited about it, of course you do it right away. I understand. A teenager wakes up and, this only happens with time difference in Israel, wants to check the football scores. Did he say, I'll check the football scores in 40 minutes. You know, first I'm going to eat my cornflakes.
No, he's excited about it. He goes right away to check the football scores, right? If you're excited about something, you do it right away. And that's part of the existential experience of being excited about mitzvos. If you wait till later, that shows you're not excited. That shows that it's not important to you. It's a burden to get rid of. It's just a routine. So for the Eevee, the point is to have excitement in mitzvos. It's the mental state. Okay. However, if you may, I am in the Seals Yesharim. I read through the whole Maseils Yesharim on, I mean, most people, especially this time of the year, have read through the whole Maseils Yesharim on Zrizus. Okay, did everyone get all the way to Yerushchet? Yeah, I don't know, you know. But Zrizus, at least, not that far in. That's not what it sounds like from Maseils Yesharim at all. Says Maseils Yesharim, I'll read a few lines, and he's consistent throughout the two prakim where he discusses, you know, before Mafsidi, et cetera, where he discusses the basic ideas of Zrizos, he's very explicit. What does he say? He says, Sarach pichbos godol ashkafa lechos b'mitzos v'lizkos v'hem v'lo tovdenem imenu. You need to be clever to grab the mitzvahs and not lose them. It's about losing a mitzvah, right? When you say, a mitzvah of yours are not totally b'hem. No, they are totally b'hem. Why? Because just like the Yetzer Hara wants to get you doing a veira, mishtadalim no mitzvah, the Yetzer Hara wants to stop you from doing a mitzvah. And if you're lazy and don't run after them, you will be empty. You won't do the mitzvah. For the Maseils Yesharim, it's just like lo yochal adam samach lemincha and helchachai tzur b'merabanan, etc. Right? It's a gzeira atu bitla mitzvah. It's because if you don't do it now, then what did Hillel say memorably? And lo akshav meosai. If you don't do it now, how do you know you'll do it later? Right, that is the Maseils Yesharim. And he goes on, and he says, he says a little later, he says, many times people know what they're supposed to do, and yanichu, and they don't do it. Why don't they do it? Because of their laziness. It's about not doing it, right? Etc. And they make excuses, and they delay, and you don't do it. Okay, etc. And then he says it again in Chelkeh Rizos in Perek Zayin. I think at the end he goes back to the same thing. He says that someplace here. He says in some place, Berg Zion, also, even though I can't find it right now, at the end he says that, you end up getting hislavos, what he calls hislahatos, from the Zrizos, but he says that's not the reason for the Zrizos. The reason for the Zrizos is because you don't want to miss out on the mitzvah. So here we have a chakira. What's the reason for Zrizos? To have excitement, to do the mitzvah with a good frame of mind, or as a gzeira atu, you'll be Miss Rachel. And as Maseils Yesharim points out, right? Maseils Yesharim knows the score. Yeah, what do you mean be Miss Rachel? That's what you might be Miss Rachel. There's such things as the Yitzhara, and the Yitzhara is very clever. And the sakana of bittul mitzvahs and doing averos is much greater than we naive, innocent yeshiva bachurim think. Okay, so could there be an afgamina of these two? Now here, it's hard to say for sure. I can't guarantee, promise, etc., but I think we'll put things in a certain perspective. There could be enough gemina of this hakira.
Rebbe?
Yes.
I would think that Avraham Avinu by the Akeda is a Maseils Yesharim, Nick.
You would think, meaning, why was he Zarius? So that the Satan wouldn't stop him from doing the Akeda. But what would the Meiri say? You know why he was Zariz? Because he was Kavash Rachmov Lasos Utzoncha Belev of Shaleh. Because he was Besimcha, he was Belev of Shaleh. He was excited to Utzon Abori, even though it was so difficult. You know, the Meiri says the same thing, by the way, Bris Mila in Yoma. One second, there's a parallel to our Gemara. This Brisa also appears in Yoma. And Yoma the Meiri says, you know why he needs Rizos to Bris Mila do it first thing in the morning? To show that you're not resentful of the fact that you have to harm your child a little. You're happy to bring it to the bris of Hashem and to do it so Hashem. And I think he was the same thing for, you know, different madriga for the Akedah. that what's the Zrizus? The Zrizus is a sudden, doesn't stop him. The Mesil Shom's Zrizus is practical. The Iri Zrizus is existential. What?
Doesn't Rashi say Havana Kolkata Tashra?
I'm sorry, you're not coming in so clear. It's hard to hear you.
Regarding the Akedah, that Havana Kolkata Tashra.
Exactly, Rashi says, right? Vayachlus Chamora, Avam Kalkelos Ashura. It was about the Ava. So here I think the Meiri says it's about excitement. And the Mesilas Yesharim says it's about Gzeira Shema. Maybe I'll be Mevatel Mitzvah. I thought maybe you could say, but this is a stretch. There's this funny Shut Radach that I put in brackets here, who says that it's an Issur D'oraisa, not Bizaris. Everyone else assumes it's a mead that a Bizaris. It's a value. It's not an Issur D'oraisa to not Bizaris. Give me a break. He says, no, it's an Issur D'oraisa, not Bizaris. He says, Zachova Gemura, and not just a Mida. It's an Issur D'oraisa, not just a Mida. I thought that you could say, but I can't promise, that if you see it as a Gzeira, it's easier to say that it's an Issur, like a lot of Gzeiros. Torah is Gzeiros. The Ran says, the Torah says, Ba'yor Le'matzei, so don't eat chametz. The Torah says don't intermarry, so you don't worship Avodah Zarah, et cetera, et cetera. So the Torah says, be a Zarah, so you're not Mevatel Naseh. Well, if it's a matter of excitement, it's hard to call that an Issur D'oraisa, so it would be easier to say it's Midos, but I'm not sure. So maybe, Efshur, maybe Nafka Mina could be, is it an Issur, or is it Midos? Here, maybe you could say it's an Isser, Gomer, which is the sort of Das Yochid of Rav David Kohen, while Lechora, if it's a matter of excitement, that's where Midos. Hard to say it's an Isser Gomer, not of excitement. But I think the bigger Nafkamina is, Lechora is a Nafkamina, is the tremendous discussion of the Achronim. What about, should you do it now for Zrizos, or should you do it later if it's a hundred later? The Shvus Yaakov starts his question. A guy came to the Shvus Yaakov and says, I have a lulav and esrog. That's a lulav and esrog. I can pick it up right now, 6:30 in the morning. But later I'm going to get a mahudr shu lulav and esrog at 9 o'clock. Should I wait till 9 o'clock for the mahudr lulav and esrog? Again, obviously, he's just taking the Dever Pasha, but Rav Chaim would make famous later, that once you're yotzei now, it doesn't help to pick a mahudr one later because you're already yotzei, right? So if he's yotzei now, there's no... If he's yotzei now, he loses out on the hiddur. If he waits till 9 o'clock, he loses out on the zrizos. What's more important, zrizos or hiddur? Okay, so how about zrizos versus hiddur? So what might you say? L'chora, I think for the Me'iri it's pashut. What do you think for the Me'iri? What would the Me'iri say? If I'm waiting till later on to do it for hiddur, is that a lack of zrizos for the Me'iri? Why? Is it a lack of excitement because I want to do the mitzvah behidr? Does that show a lackadaisical? Does that show it's mitzvah sadashim melumada and it's porik ol because I want to do it more mehudr? Adarabba, meaning it's not, if the problem is rizos is the wrong attitude, then I'm trying to be mehadr in mitzvahs, I have the right attitude. Then here for the year it should be pashut that you should do it later behidr. Because waiting to do it behinder does not betray a lack of excitement about mitzvahs. Adarabba, I want to do it. If I really love something, I want to do it right. So, I mean, it's not even a clash. Like, what's docha what? It's not a clash in the first place. Zrizos is not an issue. It's not even a clash. That comes out of the Lashon of the Stechemed, right? Was Lashon Stechemed. He was talking about a slightly different case, but the Lashon of the Stechemed was... It's called, he says, it's better, it shows, this does, doing it behavior shows your cheshek. Okay, taking that phrase. While, if you said, zrizim ektivim mitzvos kuzvik zera, I don't know, I could do it a hitter, but I might not do it at all. Or I could do it now, for sure. Someone give me an English pitgam about this? I could do it later, better, but I might not do it at all. Or I could do it now,
One in the hand is better than two in the
bush. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Now, I understand a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, and I found the Chazal. But it's a good svara, right? Pashtus, lechbora, you would say that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, right? A bird, etc., that it's better to do it now. Because after all, you don't want to delay too long. Right? Lechora. It's not muchrach. You could have said, no. Who said a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush? It all depends how big the two birds are, how big the one birds are, and how high the odds are they'll get to the bush. Right? So, but lechora, not muchrach. I said lechora. Here, for the meter, I think it's pashut. How can you possibly say it's not a good kavana to want to do a behider? For the Mesil Sharim, I would say lechora. Who is this machlokas? We won't go through all the rayas back and forth. I'll just point out that this is the Magen Avraham, says the Magen Avraham. Now, by the way, each of these makoros has other hakiras involved that we can't get to it. Like, for example, the idea of putting on talus and then tefillin. Is it more mahodr to put on your tefillin after the talus? Or is it just that if you have two, there's an order? If just when you have two, there's an order, then if you have one, there's nothing to talk about. But the Magen Avraham says, no, it's more mahodr to put on, he assumes it's more mahodr to put on your tefillin after your talus. Says, what if you have your tefillin and your talus is on its way? Says the Magen Avraham, you should put on your tefillin. You should put on your tefillin and not wait for your talus. Better to do it now and not to do it behider. And that's what he says. That kol shu yemitzo lo mashinan afal pishe shloma shiasachar kamitzo yosim enam bovchar. Everyone agrees better to put on your tefillin now. But other achronim say, because it's not more mechuda to put them on later. Just if you have two, you have to pick which comes first. But the Mishnah, my second Magen Avraham, his nafkamina is not the tefillin. His nafkamina is, in general, says the Magen Avraham, this is the psak of the Magen Avraham, who paskins this way? This is the psak of the Magen Avraham in general. He says, in general rule, the general rule is better to do it now than do it behider later. And who argues with him? The Moriktsiyah. The Morzi of the Yaakov Endem right there, I mean somewhat right there, the Magen Avraham's on the Shulchan Aruch. The Moritzia is on the Torah. Rav Yaakov Endem on the Torah. He argues, and when it comes to, there are really three shittas, right? The Magen Avraham says, you always do it now and forget about the hiddur. And that's why you put on your tefillin now. Other achronim say, no, you always wait for the hiddur. But by the tefillin, it's not more mahudr, so you might as well do it now. And the Moritzia just says, I'm against this Shulchan Aruch. Says the Moritzia. That's what he says about tefillin without talus. He says, no, wait for your talus to come later. Better do behidr. And likewise, we find in Shulchan Aruch Harav. Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, you're on the road. If you're on the road, you're allowed to daven walking on the road. But you, in this Zman Tefillah, you for sure get to your destination where you can daven with Kavana. Since you're allowed to daven on the road. Let's say you have a lot of business to do there. And you can't afford to be Mahadr, etc. You're allowed to daven on the road. Since that the best thing to do is to wait till later. So what do we see? That the Shulchan Aruch Harav disagrees with the Magen Avraham. He is talking about davening on the road. Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, no, better to daven later in the house than now on the road. Even though both options are mutter. Better to have hiddur than to have azrizus. The Shvus Yaakov says the same thing about the lulav and esrog. He says a lot of other details, which we don't have time to mention now. He is talking about the esrog mahudr, or lulav, whatever it was. Right, he says the exact same thing. But the Magen Avraham has a raya. What's his raya? Mefurish Gemara in Yevamos. Shihuyi mitzvah lo mashina. You don't delay a mitzvah. What's the case there? There's a machlokis. What's a bigger mitzvah? Is the bigger mitzvah if there are two brothers? A brother died without kids, older and younger. We know the mitzvah d'oraisa is the older brother. L'chachila b'haya ha-bechor is mikra yotzi b'pshuto. Means the Bechor should do. So is it a bigger mitzvah for the Bechor to do Chalitza or for the Katan to do Yibam? Because Bechor is better than Katan and Yibam is better than Chalitza, so we're not sure. What is the Gemara saying? But either way, If you hold it's better for the gadol to do chalitza, then if they say wait for the gadol to return from overseas, we don't wait for him. Why it's better? No, because do it now. Don't do it better. And if you say it's better for the katan to do yibam, they would say wait for the katan to be our mitzvah and do yibam. We say, and that's better than chalitza. We say no, do it now. Don't delay a mitzvah. Better now than mahudr. According to all the days, we're not learning yivamos now. One principle is clear: no matter what you hold about yivamos, better to do it now than to do it mahudr. That's called kol shimas ul shinan. You never delay a mitzvah. Never, not only do it mahudr. So the Magen Aruch says, "I am for Shraya." What does everyone else do with his raya? What does everyone else do with his raya? What's his raya? His raya. Give me a second. His raya is what's his makar? The makar is Yevamos Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis that says no shihoy mitzvah for hiddur. You can't do shihoy mitzvah for hiddur. Who agrees with him? By the way, the nishmas Adam. It's also in brackets when it comes to Yom Kippur, Matzei Tishvav, right? The Gra didn't do any of those things. I don't know if this is his reason or not, but the Shabbos Adam says, no, we don't wait for Matzei Shabbos. We do it right away because Kol Shiyum Mitzvah lo Mashinan. He thinks this is a Mefor Sefer Hasidim. Okay, you can interpret Sefer Hasidim differently, but that's what he thinks. And they have a great Raya. What does the Trumas Hadeshin do with that Raya, which then everyone else quotes? That could be the, but that's that. I know that could be the grub, but the Nishma's Adam says for this reason. You're right, the grub could say it's just a bracha the first time you see the moon, you don't have a choice. But the Nishma's Adam says you do have a choice. It's just better to do it now instead of behinder. So that's why I didn't want to discuss the grub. What does the Trumas Hadeshin say? The Trumas Hadeshin says, and this is of course our minute, quoted by the Raman, some tough chaf tests or whatever it is, he says, Kiddush Levana. Everyone knows that standard minig Ashkenaz, if you're not a grunik, and the grun might be for a different reason, right, is that you wait for Matzei Shabbos, or this year you wait for Matzei Yom Kippur. Why? Better to do it behinder than to do it bezrisos. Oh, what do they do with the Gemara and Yevamos? What do they all say? Very pashat. What do they all say? Gemara and Yevamos.
You might not come back, or the kid might not grow up.
There's Tzvei Dinim, they say. They say, now, again, you really have to go through like the four different phrases that have to do with this and how they all interact. But they say, Shihoy Mitzvah is different from Zrizos / other concepts. They say, Shihoy Mitzvah means when it's a long time and it might not work out. The Ikka really is not working out, not so much the long time, right? The Katan has to grow up and the Gadol has to come from Indian Sayyam, etc. Who knows what will happen until then? It could easily be nisbatel the mitzvah. Over here, we're talking about zrizin is where there's always some slight chance. But zrizin, it's 99% going to work out. So what do they all say? How do they answer the Gemara in Yevamos? What they say is, no, there's beis dinim. Meaning, even if you want to say like a Meiri, you can't deny that sometimes we make a gzera that you might not do it. But they say, no. When the odds are low, when the odds are 50%, we make it 60%, 70%, we make it 0, you might not do it. When the odds are 99%, it's just a matter of excitement. Postum Seal Sharp says, even when it's 99%, that Yitzhahara is crafty. Says Beis Dinim, one din is called Shihoy Mitzvah. Shihoy Mitzvah means that only when there's a strong chance of bittul, and it's docha hider. But the second din is zrizos. Zrizos is when there's no strong chance of bittul. Don't give me this mesil shisharem that there always might. So there's no strength. And then it's nidche mipnei hider mitzvah. Hinder mitzvah is more important than zrizos. Hinder mitzvah is more important than doing it right away when there's no strong chance of missing out. However, when there's a strong chance of missing out, then everyone agrees on your vamos. Everyone agrees, Mesil Shasharma is right in your vamos. In the Gemara and your vamos,
I mean, Shmuel Yaakov is a slight Havamina. Otherwise, basically everyone agrees, even he in the end seems to agree, everyone agrees that when there's a strong chance it won't work out, let's say you're on the road and you don't know if you'll get to a city to daven by Shachar's time, then Shulchan Aruch says, of course, do it now. Let's say you're waiting for someone to come from Medina Sayam. Who knows when I'll make it from Medina Sayam in the old days or the last 6 months? Let's say, yeah, then everyone agrees that it's a Gzeira Atu Bitalaseh, and of course, a Gzeira Atu Bitalaseh is Doche Hidr. The Machlok says, what if there's no chance you won't do it, just like you never know? Like everything you never know, but like, why should I not do it? I'm sitting here, it's here, everything's ready. That's when Seal Sharm says, we're still goes, you might not do it. Then he says, then it's a matter of attitude, not Gzeira, you might not do it. And that's why they say, if it's just a matter of attitude, then, do it later. And then, wait and do it behinder, because that's also a good attitude. Okay, and that's why, how do we paskin? If you're on the road and you're not sure if you'll make it in time to a house, daven on the road. But if you're sure you'll make it in time to a house, then it's better to wait and do it behinder. Says the Shemitz Edeshen, this halacha l'maisa in all Ashkenazi communities, and I think Sephardi also, says, if Matzei Shabbos will be the 8th, 9th, 10th, wait for Matzei Shabbos. But if it's the winter and Matzei Shabbos will be the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, then do it now because in the winter it's often cloudy and rainy and there's good odds that you won't be able to make it. So that's what he says, you have to make a practical judgment. If there's decent odds that you won't have a moon, do it now. That's Yevamos. But if for sure you'll have a moon later, just, you know, you could do it now or later. That's just Rizos. Rizos is less important than Hidur Mitzvah. This comes up, another classic example of this, and this will have to end, is the Stechemet brings the same machlokas about, I'll just write, same analysis, the Stechemet, Rizos versus Mitzvah Bo V'chule. It's more mitzvah to do it yourself than through a shliach. So you could do it yourself later, or send a shliach now. What's better? Should I send a shliach to light my Chanukiah right now? Oh, that might be different. Maybe Nick Guzman. Should I send a shliach to give tzedakah now, or should I do it myself? Or should I do it myself later? Should I send a shliach to put on the zuzah now, or should I do it myself later, etc. So he brings down a machlokas about this. Seems to be the same analysis. If it's a matter of it might not happen, send a shliach to do it now. Better than taking a chance of it not happening. You never know that Yitzhar Hari is very crafty. But if it's like the meiri excitement, adrab, it's more excitement to do it myself than to send a shliach to do it. Sending a shliach is pure all the mitzvah nashim lumado, which is what he says in the end. Adrab, it's more exciting to do it yourself. Okay, that's the analysis. Okay, so this is a very important chakira. Yes.
Yeah. So reverse flag here. Here, I'm not looking. We've shown them about whether it's better to say make up birkas via near Hanukkah when you're like on your way home, or wait till we get home. To make the actual bracha while you're lighting. And it seems the Machlokes Rishonim makes it seem that like it depends on what the mechanics of the mitzvah is itself. So it might be that reason when you have a Machlokes between reason after the mitzvah hinder, it might also be tolerated upon the specific mitzvah itself, the different precedent that exists.
Correct. Meaning there's hinder and there's like support, right. Correct. So it came out like what the idea is, which is this. You're right, you could certainly complicate this, but fundamentally I think this is the right analysis. Okay, we got to almost everything. We didn't get to, and the hour is just, it's too late now. If it was 11, I would say I'll pretend it's not, but if it's already not, then, you know. We didn't get to Toaster Maskel Shinemar Vayashkem Avram Baboker. I learned my lesson for that, and even without learning my lesson.
It's only 11:07.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll have to pick up before we get to the next sugya. Next time we'll fill in the Tosfos Maskil Vayashkem Avram Baboker, Mirtz Hashem, and then we'll continue with the very, very, very fascinating and important sugya on so many levels of the maskir and the socher, Mirtz Hashem, next month. And meanwhile, I will wish everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova, and a good yontif, and good health, and b'saras tovos, and yeshuas, and achamos, for all of us. And while we're sitting this Yom Kippur, thinking about what's been going on the last 6 months, and thinking about how small we human beings are, and powerless we human beings all are, based on everything we thought we could control and we knew, and we see that we don't. It's also very important to remember that as small as we are, mi baz li yom katnos, as small as we are, we can do lots of small things that are really, really, really big in Hashem's eyes. And, you know, maybe we're not what we were, maybe our davening is not what we are, but adrava, Hashem wants the avoda of the davening from smallness. He wants the avoda of going from here to here instead of starting out here. And that avoda is in many ways much more beloved than having everything handed to us on a silver platter. And maybe this is just an opportunity to recognize that we, Hashem's reminding us that we're small, not just so we shouldn't be Bali Gaiva collectively, but so that to remind us of the importance of the small things that small people do, and that small things are just important in Hashem's infinite eyes as the big things. And maybe b'zocheh to a year of Hatzlacha in Ruchnius and Bracha, and Slacha in Ruchnius and Gashmius. And hopefully I'll see you all in one fashion or another. Odds are beginning of Zman in this fashion, but in one fashion or another, next Zman. If anyone has questions, of course, feel free to ask.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Chatima Tova.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shana Tova, Chatima, Gmar Chatima Tova.
Which sounds more like the Chendler. Right. Right, but you could say alacrity is necessary to avoid a chashash bittul. Get the last board, please.
Oh, yeah.
And leave the air conditioning on, because we went so long, Mary Miller's about to start shiur. So this is going to be a record 4 shiur day for Gruss.
Rabbi.
Yes.
I understood Bala Maor against all the Rishonim, not arguing them at all.
Say that again?
I'm not sure why the Rishonim understood Bala Maor as saying you could look at Tila, check on the Dimel.
I'm totally with you. That's a diuk the Nake of the Bala Maor, and it's not a diuk Mukhrach. You don't have to read the Bala Maor that way. But nonetheless, that's how they read the Bala Maor. Nonetheless, you're right. I don't think it's Mukhrach either. I would not, if I only had the Bala Maor, I would not necessarily have concluded that. If I only had the Bala Maor, I would have said, sounds like he might be saying that, but, you know, Lav Davka. So I don't know. I don't know why they were so certain to make that deal. But you admit that all the Rishonim made that deal. I agree 100% with you. Just, you know, I agree with you. If I read the Balamor, I might not have made that diuk. I totally agree with you. But, okay, that's how the Rishonim understood. So, you know, it's something.
Okay.
All right, have a good day, everyone.